I'm Jimmy Himes on The Rewind with Full Disclosure, and our special guest is one of the all-time great basketball players at Tennessee, and that is Tony White. Tony, how you doing?
Doing fine, Jimmy.
Good to catch up with you.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
I want to know how you wound up at Tennessee, because you came out of Charlotte, and as I recall, you were not highly recruited as a basketball player.
True. Don DeVoe never did get a chance to see me play until I played in the North Carolina All-Star game. So they never did see none of my tapes in high school or anything. I mean, it was very funny. It was basically what happened was you never know who's watching you and looking out for your, you know, best interest. And it was an Army recruiter. He was a big basketball fan, and his name was Sam Rivers. And Sam Rivers. So he called around and everything, and I guess a lot of schools at that time didn't get the players that they wanted, and I was still was available because I didn't sign until, late.
It was in the spring, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the spring, yeah. So, you know, I was just, you know, wondering, just waiting for the opportunity, and then Tennessee came along. But before I signed with Tennessee, I had the opportunity to Auburn came in.
With Sonny Smith?
Sonny Smith. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Gray was the recruiter. He came in, and actually, they had two scholarships available. And we had the scholarships there. He came to my high school. They had the scholarships there. They was going to offer us, and then he got a phone call. See, back then, you know, there wasn't, you know, so he had to leave. He had to leave the area, and he went to the office. He answered the phone. Then he came back with some sad news. He said, "Tony and Jeff," it was Jeff McGill. He said, "I'm sorry, but we have no more scholarships available." And we said, "Why?" He took up all the paperwork, and he said, "Because Frank Ford and Gerald White had just signed, and they had no more scholarships."
East Tennessee weather can change in an instant, but no matter the season, you need a vehicle you can count on. From daily errands to weekend adventures, Ravarner Ford has a lineup built for whatever comes next. 24 Ford F-150 4x4 Super Crew XLT, $52,988. 24 Ford Maverick Lariat all-wheel drive, $38,877. 24 Ford F-350 Crew Cab, $47,779. Wherever the road takes you, Ravarner Ford has the perfect vehicle for the journey. Local you trust, a dealership you can count on.
And I remember, I think Ford was like a 6'4 guard.
Yep, 6'4 guard. And Gerald White was 6'2.
Yeah.
And, you know, they was good players and everything. Mm-hmm. But that's why I had a personal vendetta against Auburn.
Well, I'm going to get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Kansas came along. I heard Larry Brown was interested.
Yeah. And Kansas played a little trick on, Tennessee played a trick on Kansas.
Oh, okay.
What happened was is that I came up here to visit, and from my visit, I was going to leave there, and then I was going to Kansas. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was, Coach Furtick knew, he said, hey.
It's Jack Furtick, Tennessee assistant.
Jack Furtick. Okay. He the one that came in, and saw me play the pickup games at my high school, and then said, hey, Coach, you got to sign this kid. He's pretty good. But what happened was, Jack Furtick played a trick on Kansas and told him, say, well, Tony White, yeah, he's available, but I think he's going to sign. And, yeah, so they knew if I was going to sign, I wasn't going to make my trip out to Kansas. And that would happen. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of, you know, it was just one of those things. Yeah, Tony White, yeah, he's like, yeah. And I was just looking for a place that I could play. And, you know, so they wasn't going to dare to let me go out to Kansas.
did that tick you off when you heard what Furtick did?
No. It didn't tick me off because, really, I wasn't planning on going out to Kansas anyway because it was too far. And, you know, my family couldn't, you know, have the chance to see me play. But I really wasn't feeling Kansas. But Tennessee only had one point guard, and that was Tyrone Beeman.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I saw the opportunity to play early. And so that's why I kind of like, you know, it was only 4 hours away from Charlotte. And, you know, my family could come and see me play.
Why do you think you weren't more highly recruited?
I would just say back then, you know, Charlotte is not like Charlotte is now. Mm-hmm. With all everybody moved to Charlotte when we got the pro team. Before, everything was up in Durham, you know, Durham, Winston-Salem, Greensboro. Mm-hmm. That's where all the sports writers and everybody was at. We was kind of down south a little bit. But the biggest thing, you know, we played against Danny Manning. Danny Manning and the team that knocked me out 2 years in a row in the semifinals for the state championship. So, I mean, you know, you played against good talent, but mm-hmm. it's just that, you know, Charlotte reporters, but now they have they got all the sports teams there. So now you get all the recognition you want from Charlotte.
How big were you coming out of high school?
I was 6'2".
What'd you weigh?
Oh, my goodness. I was about 155 soaking wet. I was 6'2", 155 soaking wet, but I was quick. I was, quick. So, but, yeah, I mean, I wasn't very big. So, you know, I think a lot of people looked over because of my size and everything.
So I talked to Don DeVoe, your coach at Tennessee, and I asked him about you. He said the very first practice, he said it was like October 15th. You couldn't go out there and do all these workouts and stuff like you can now.
Sure.
So you started October 15th. I said, what did you think of him? He said, I knew the first day of practice he was special. He said he was so quick, nobody could guard him. Did you feel like that first day of practice you belonged in college at Tennessee?
Well, at the time, I'm going to tell you no. I didn't feel that I belonged because Coach DeVoe never did let us touch the ball for 3 hours. You know, there's all defensive drills. I was like, did I make the right decision to come to play here? But I mean, I felt that, you know, the opportunity was that I just needed a chance to play. And mm-hmm. that was my biggest thing. Just give me a chance to play. I mean, don't look at my size or anything. Just, hey, if it's basketball, we run them down the court, shooting, scoring. I just needed an opportunity. And I took advantage of it.
We have an exceptional group of attorneys that work here. We're all trying to be better attorneys, be better advocates for our clients, be better people.
That makes me proud to be part of the team when I see how much the attorneys care about their clients.
It's truly one vision. I feel like every single person who works here has that same vision, and that's to treat all of our clients like family.
We've developed such a tight-knit team. Everyone is unified in being selfless in their representation.
The Garza Law Firm. Let us help.
Now, Coach DeVoe was known as the defensive-minded coach. He was also known to have what I heard was the five-pass rule, so which would slow you down a lot. But I did ask him this. I said, did you ever tell Tony, because you were averaging your last 2 years, you led the SEC in scoring each of those years, did you ever go to Tony and say, you don't need to score as much, you need to facilitate more, have more assists? He said, no, I never did that. Do you remember it that way?
Yeah, he never did. Well, you know, Coach DeVoe never did actually tell you to shoot it either. But I mean, he never did tell me to, hey, you know, we're going to run this, do this. No, it was just more so that, you know, I felt that the team needed a spark or whatever. And I tried to, you know, do that early in my career and everything, you know, because we did go on, you know, scoring slumps and everything. And then plus, so 45-second shot clock back then. So, like, teams would never play us because they knew that we was going to shoot the ball in the last 10 minutes. So, like,
10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. I'm sorry, 10 seconds. So that was the biggest thing. So, like, when I got in and most of the I'm going to just tell you, they wasn't playing us, and I knew that I can hit an open jump shot, and I just started taking it. And then sometimes – you know, it go in, and then sometimes it didn't. So, but I just took the criticism because if you shoot it before 35 or 20 seconds with Coach DeVoe, you know you're coming out. But, you know, you're coming out the game. But I just say, they're not guarding me. So, you're passing the ball around, but no one's guarding you. So, yeah. I just took I took a lot of chances.
Well, and they paid off a lot, too.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this is kind of funny, though, when I was talking to him. He said, you know, he said Tony would play 40 minutes. He'd fill up the stat sheets. He'd score. He'd make free throws and all this. But I'd look in the steals category, and it always said zero. So,
I'm going to just say this Because I love him. Bud Ford. I told Bud Ford.
He was a sports information director.
Yeah, but Bud also kept the stats.
He did. Yeah.
So I told Bud this right here. I said, there's no way that Fred Jenkins,
your teammate,
my teammate, mm-hmm. my running partner, should not have more assists than what he have if I led the SEC in scoring for 2 years in a row. I told him. I said, there's no way. I said, we scored 103 points against Auburn. You know how many team assists we had?
10.
Come on. You got to go down.
5.
I think we had between 3 or 5 team assists.
So basically, Bud didn't know an assist or a steal. He didn't know what either one of them were.
I'm not going to. I plead the fifth on that because I like Bud. I plead the fifth on it. I love Bud to death. No, I'm not saying anything, but I just think that the game has changed a lot more as in how people calculate assists.
Your junior year, you led the SEC in scoring. 22.4 a game, I think it was. Your next year, it was around 24.2. You are one of only 2 Tennessee players to ever lead the SEC in scoring in back-to-back years. Do you know who the other guy is?
I just had to go with Bernard King.
It is Bernard King.
Yeah.
That's pretty good company, Tony.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, being with the King.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. But I appreciate, you know, when I came here, I never imagined that I would be, you know, up there with the top players. I used to get a program and read about mm-hmm. the history of Tennessee basketball, but I never did imagine that, you know, to be up there with Bernard King, Dale Ellis, you know, all the great players that, and Ernie Grunfeld.
You mentioned Auburn. You scored 51 points against Auburn on Valentine's Day in 1987.
Yeah, wow.
And that was at Stokely Center, was it?
Stokely Athletic.
Yeah.
I shut it down.
You shut it down.
Yeah.
So 51 points. Just talk us through that and what you remember about that game.
I just remember about the game is that, you know, like I said, I always had some person against Auburn because they took a scholarship away from me. I never get a chance to play there. I just felt it early coming off the screens and hitting the jump shots and we are pushing the ball up and down the court, and then I got in the groove one time. I think I hit maybe like 6-7 in a row, and then after that, it was just that the goal was about big as the ocean then. So, yeah, I mean, it was just one of those, you know, special nights that, you know, a player get on the roll, and he's hard to stop. And, you know, I only missed 5 shots the whole night.
You were 15 of 20 from the field.
Right.
18 of 19 at the foul line.
There you go.
Now, that's a lot of free throws.
Yeah.
And Auburn was fouling you late. You remember that?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why they was fouling me, but, you know, hey, I'll just tell them thank you. Yeah. I'm telling them thank you. Well, I appreciate it.
Sonny Smith finally yelled out at his players, quit fouling him. Quit fouling him late in the game.
Yeah.
Did you get the 51st point? Was that at the foul line?
Yes, it was at the foul line. We was up, and, you know, they just kept fouling me, and I just kept going to the free throw line shooting. So I really didn't think I was that close until a couple of players was telling me how many I had and everything. You know, they was like, oh, wow, you about to break the record. And I'm like, what? You know, I was just in the moment of the game.
There was a game before that where you almost set the record, the Red Lobster Classic. It's in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I had to be covering that game, too. That was December the 30th.
Right.
And I think you had a 1-1 late in that game against Florida State.
I think I was going for the record. I don't know what happened if I missed it. But I knew one thing with the great announcer, John Ward. He called me Anthony White. Anthony White's about to break the record because he got excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people was telling me that and everything. I was saying, oh, well, hey, you know, Anthony's Tony is short for Anthony.
Yeah. So you break the record of Ron Whidbey. He scored 50 points against LSU in 1967.
Wow.
Did you know who Ron Whidbey was?
I didn't know who he mm-hmm. was, but like I said, I read the programs of the, you know, records that the University of Tennessee and Ron Whidbey had the 50 points. So I never did get a chance to meet him.
Do you know how good of an athlete he was?
I know now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was a great athlete.
He was a great punter, punted in the NFL.
Football, basketball.
He was the SEC Player of the Year in basketball, played in the ABA.
Yeah.
Played on the senior golf tour.
Wow.
Played baseball 1 year at Tennessee, lettered in four sports. He was
very talented.
Yeah, he absolutely.
Very talented. Yeah.
When you look back at Tennessee, the 51 points certainly stands out. What other moments stick out to you about playing at Tennessee?
We was playing Southwestern Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
We was down.
Way down, yeah.
We was down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up winning that game.
You took over.
Yeah, but see, yes, I took over, but they don't give you the credit. See, now they're talking about steals. They didn't tell you how many steals I had in the game.
See? No, they didn't.
See, they didn't see. No. See, because my scoring overshadowed the other work I used to do.
Yeah.
So just remember that game. I saw that the fans was leaving. Everyone was leaving because we was down. I think we was down by 6 or 7 points. I think it was maybe 20-some seconds left to go in the game. And we ended up winning.
A.G. Hines Company. They've been around for over 100 years, selling building materials since anyone can remember. Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, shoulder, and elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't good enough. Lehman Jewelers offers more than 90 years of combined craftsman experience and is the leader in appraisals, estate, and custom jewelry. Kindness and integrity are our top values. Located in Turkey Creek and Maryville, Lehman Jewelers is your hometown jeweler of choice. Come experience the difference. Don DeVoe mentioned that game to me. He said that you were down by 8 with less than a minute left.
There you go. Okay. Okay.
And he said you took over and you won that game. And he said, and he knew the coach at USL. His name was Bobby Pascal.
Right.
And he said they were just devastated. They couldn't do anything to stop you at that moment. So for Don DeVoe, that was one of his highlights talking about you.
Yeah, but see, they never did say anything about the steals.
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything about the steals.
All the defensive, we could get all the defensive drills and everything. But when he counted, I was there. but that's one of the games that I remember because that gave us the chance to go to New York and to play in the Final Four in the NIT.
Yes.
I enjoyed that game, and then also in the SEC tournament, we're playing against Auburn. I think back then, we played at school sites. I think it was in Vanderbilt. That was my first.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first almost collegiate start down there. And we beat Auburn. And I made the all tournament team as a freshman. I hit like 30 points. Okay, man, helped them out. Yeah.
I want to mention the Georgia game that Coach DeVoe told me about. He said that Tennessee's playing Georgia. It's in Knoxville. And late in the game, Georgia's up by 1, but a Georgia player didn't realize it, and he fouled you.
Yeah.
Late in the game, you went to the foul line and made 2 free throws to beat Georgia. And so after the game, Don DeVoe goes up to Hugh Durham, the Georgia coach.
Right.
And he says, hey, he said, I know it's a tough loss. He said, but have a safe trip back to Athens. And Hugh Durham says, go to hell, DeVoe.
I can believe that. I can believe that. That's something Coach DeVoe would do.
Yeah.
that's definitely something he would do.
Do you remember that game?
I remember the game.
Yeah.
I don't know why they thought that they was,
One player. Got it mixed up.
Yeah. And, well, that happened a lot. That happened a lot.
Yeah. You set a lot of these scoring records, and you only had the 3-point shot 1 year of your career.
True.
You were 28 of 68, 42%. Do you feel like you'd have scored a lot more points if the 3-point shot had been in existence your first 3 years at Tennessee?
Yeah.
Or would DeVoe let you shoot the 3?
Well, see, there you go. Now everybody know that Coach DeVoe, he voted against the changing the shot clock, hello, and the 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, basically what it is, it's just a signs of the time changing. Everything was changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we were to focus on that, because we was losing close games, and mm-hmm. what? And you know what we was losing by? They was making threes, we was making twos. And so we kind of adjusted to that towards the end of the season and everything. But, yeah, I think that if we would have been more focused on, okay, like now, oh, my gosh. If I had the opportunity, how the kids light up threes now, and when I was playing, yeah, I think I would have scored more.
Our guest is Tony White, and when we come back, we'll talk to Tony about his NBA career and other things that were highlights about his life. That'll be part two of our interview.